Prime Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. I'd like you to meet four people, stars in their own right. There's Kingsley Amis's cousin, John Amis. There's Jamie Muir's father, Frank Muir. There's Pat Wallace's husband, Ian Wallace. And Maggie Norden's father, Dennis Norden. And this is Nicola's papa, Steve, starting off the questioning. John, on the subject, then, of first names, what was this composer's first name? I can tell you his second name was Konstantinovich. Looking for help, somebody in the front row. And I don't think she knows the first name of Glazunov either.
Oh, it's Glazunov, is it?
Yes, the Glazunov violin concerto.
I thought it was Glinka. Oh, no, because it is there. Yes, Glazunov.
You don't know the first name, do you? God, some talk of him, some of Hercules.
Alexander.
Yes, no, let us not prolong this any longer. Alexander. Anyway, the soloist's last name, please, the first being Yasha.
Heifetz.
Yes, Heifetz, that's right. Frank, what's this young lady's first name? She's rather slow, but she's recognisable.
Lovely, then.
Yeah.
Nola.
Nola, that's right, by Felix Arndt, 1915. Ian, Stanley and Cleo combined to write this song. Who's the floral lady singing it?
He was beautiful, beautiful to my eyes.
Great hit in 1979. You know who she is?
No.
Do you, Dennis?
No.
Nope. Iris Williams was the singer.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Lovely melody.
Yes. Sounding not unlike Cleo Lane, who wrote
that's right.
Yes.
I thought it was.
That's right, yeah. Dennis, you'll recognise this most recognisable of all singing voices, but I wonder how far back your memories of her go.
Give me your arm as we cross the streets. Call me at 6 on the dot. A line a day when you're far away. Little things mean a lot.
You remember her?
I remember her, as it were, even more vividly because she's associated with this very studio where we are now. Mm. And Alma Cogan, of course, and we somebody that who really did light up a room when she came in, and yes. we something that you still miss in a way. And because we're here, I remember before we do these things, there's a little room at the back there where we pack in, and you're allowed to drink a glass of sherry up to the pencil mark, you know. But there used to be a little piano in there, and I remember came in one day and see her pianist was with her. And she said, what do you think of this? And he was playing a song, I Got the Bell Bottom Blues, you see. And I'd never heard it before. And she said, yeah, I'm going to record it. And I said, it's the sort of song that I associate with, now I wonder how many people will remember, Virginia O'Brien, who was a lady in MGM pictures with, who used to sing very deadpan. I'm going to bell bottom blues. And whereupon Alma did the most perfect impression of her. That I remember, and then the following week when we met, she'd recorded it, and she said to me, I'll never be able to forgive you, she said. I could only sing it in the Virginia. But you've only got to listen to it now, and you know that she sang it
it's
in the Armageddon.
It's kind of singing, which is almost gone, isn't it, pop singing. Nowadays, the singers tend to look half-starved and rather desperate. And Alma was such a sort of bubbly
person.
That record was made in 1954, anyway, Alma Cogan. A few more first names. John, the first name of Leon Cavallo.
Leon? Ruggiero.
Ruggiero Leoncavallo. Frank, Bird.
Bird?
Bird.
You want me to say the name of the umpire, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Dickie Bird.
Dickie Bird, yes.
The early keyboard composer, William.
William Bird, thank you. Ian, Donizetti.
Gaetano.
Yes, first names again. Dennis, Morton.
Oh, J.R., that would be Jelly Roll Morton.
Jelly Roll Morton. His real name being... Do you know?
Don't know what his real name being, no.
Ferdinand Jelly Roll Morton.
Well, Jelly Charles Morton.
Some questions about singing. John, since singing is so good a thing, I wish all men would learn to sing. Whose wish was that?
It's a treatise on singing, isn't it, William Byrd?
Yes. Frank, your turn. Who said, and about which group of people, "Sir, we are a nest of singing
Samuel
birds"?
Johnson.
I hadn't finished the quotation, but do go on. Speaking of
his fellow undergraduates at Oxford, who were fellow poets.
Yes. At the college? Which college?
Pembroke.
Thank you. Right. Ian, the music hall singer attends... What does he attend?
The music hall singer attends a series of masses and fugues and opts by Bach, interwoven by Spohr and Beethoven at Classical Monday Pops.
That's right.
From the Mikado.
Yeah. Dennis, what follows the words, "I sing all the low notes"? You wonder how he gets them.
And the keyboard is Flotsam.
So I must be Jetsam. Yours very sincerely, Flotsam and Jetsam.
Yes. Always a little chord on the end, yes. B.C. Hilliam and Malcolm McEachin, they were. Do you anybody know what B.C. stood for with B.C. Hilliam?
Before, no.
No, Bentley Collingwood Hilliam.
Before Crosby.
Yeah. Let's ask the audience, or the senior members of it anyway, a question about Flotsam and Jetsam, or one of their songs. Who was it that loved an announcer down at the BBC? Yes, Little Miss Bouncer loved an announcer, yeah. T.S. Eliot wrote four quartets, which have nothing whatever to do with this programme. We do have four other quartets, though, and I'd like some information on them, please. John, this quartet has a number, as string quartets tend to have, but it also has a name. The name?
It's quartet by Janáček, Intimate Letters.
It's his second quartet.
Incidentally, I worked at a gramophone shop once, and T.S. Eliot once came in, and I sold him a quartet.
Really?
Oh, lovely. He said he got all the late Beethovens. He wanted something to, something a bit on the same lines. And I sold him Bartok too. Funnily enough, he never came back.
No. Frank, whose quartet was this? Liked it, didn't they?
Very popular.
Quartet, yes.
Benny Goodman quartet,
yes.
The tune is a bit obscure.
Vibes, piano and drums, yes. Ian, this quartet is from Act 3 of an opera originally called La Maledizione. Who are the characters singing it, please? Now,
I would hazard a guess that Beniamino Gigli is in that lot.
Yes.
You had the choice either of the characters or the actual singers. Oh, yeah,
that's the only singer I could possibly...
Yes, well, it would
which
be,
makes
yeah.
it a pretty old recording. It is the Duke of Mantua. Yeah,
yes.
And poor Gilda.
Yes, poor Gilda indeed.
whom he has seduced.
Yes.
And her father, the jester Rigoletto. And the lady, perhaps known as of easy virtue... called Maddalena,
yes.
Who the singer is about to visit.
The singer's 1927 recording, Gigli, Gallicucci, Homer, Louise Homer, and De Luca.
My favourite performance of that was in a Walt Disney.
That's right. Quite like Gallicucci.
Thank you.
Dennis, this is actually from a sextet, but we only hear three of the voices. Who are the three, please, and what was the film?
Why, oh why, and wherefore have I no one to care for me? Where's my Cinderella? How gloomy can a fella be? Ain't that moon a lovely sight? This is such a lovely night. Don't mind me, pals, I'm all right. Sure, we're only doggone.
Well, I know that the song comes from Hit the Deck.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a very successful musical. And I can really only remember the ladies in that were Debbie Reynolds and Jane Powell and Ann Miller. And I thought I heard Tony Martin's voice.
You did, yes. He was one of
Tony
them.
Tony Martin, I would hazard a guess. Victor Moan was in it. I don't know who the other one
was. The one in the middle, more of a dancer than a singer, but very creditable job. Russ Tamblyn.
Oh, Russ Tamblyn, yeah.
From MGM's Hit the Deck. Mm. I promised four quartets, so here's another. They sing, appropriately enough, in a singing style. Who are they?
The Rum-tum-tagum is a curious cat.
If you put him pheasant, he'd rather have grass.
If you put him in a house, he would not prefer a flat. If you put him in a flat, then he'd rather have a house. If you set him on a mouse, then he only wants a rat. If you set him on a rat, then he'd rather chase a mouse.
Anybody know who they are? Those four.
Somebody knows out there.
I said they sang in a singing style, which is a bit of a hint.
Jackson
4. Cantabile, which means in a singing style. The group called Cantabile. Any song about cats always brings in letters, so let me repeat the title of that song by Cantabile, The Rum-Tum-Tugger. Five notes, straight up the minor scale. You'll find them at the start of a theme by J.S. Bach. John, the same five starting notes, this time from a suite. Which composer and which river?
That's old Bedridge.
Yes, that's right.
Smetana.
Smetana, yes.
And it's the Vultava.
Yes, from...
Which is the river which is flowing through Prague.
From Mavlast, yes, the Charles...
Can I...
Charles Bridge goes over the top. Yes,
I think I've told this many, many years ago, that kept on calling him Smetana. Yeah. So he quoted Beethoven 8 at them. You must call me Smetana, Smetana. You must call me Smetana, Smetana. Not Smetana.
Not Smetana. Frank, your turn. The same five starting notes, this time again, from a suite.
The Hall of the Mountain Kings, it's Grieg. Do you remember Peer Gynt, isn't it?
Yes, Peer Gynt.
Remember Bud Flanagan, who said Grieg was so wonderful. I composed all those things and run all those grocery shops.
Do you remember...
The family was Scottish, wasn't it, Grieg?
Yes, his Scottish name, his grandfather was Scots, yes. Grieg, I wonder, who tried to melt down Peer Gynt? Do you remember in the story?
The button maker?
Yes, the button moulder.
Yeah, moulder.
I was present on a legendary occasion. I was actually there when Wilfred Lawson came on stage and staggered somewhat down stage and announced, "I am the mutton boulder." He really did, and I really was there. Ian, a bit more recent yours, but the same five starting notes. Any idea what that is? Nino Rota.
Legend of the Glass Mountain.
Yes, Legend of the Glass Mountain. Good enough, yeah. Dennis, those same five notes come in the middle of the middle bit of a song you know. Right, what's the song?
The song is Buddy, Can You Spare a Dime?
Yeah, that's right. 500,000 boots went trudging through hell. Buddy, can you spare... Or brother, can you spare a dime? Anybody in the audience know what this is called? Russian lullaby, yes. Irving Berlin's Russian lullaby. Simonetta Puccini, note the name, Simonetta Puccini protested at a new production in Livorno of her grandfather's Madame Butterfly. I wonder why. Well, I know why, actually. But what do you think was the reason for her protest? Let's hear your theory as to why Miss Puccini disapproved of that performance of Butterfly in Livorno.
Anybody know? Possibly because it was an all-male cast. They'd updated it to the 20th century and played it in Madagascar.
No. It was played in the Wild West. And she was a French striptease, Madame Butterfly. It was a French... And Lieutenant Pinkerton was the chap who began that detective service in America which rode shotgun under the stagecoaches. Yeah. And she said when we were getting married, and he said, one fine day. Why? It's rightfully well known.
She said your tiny hand is frozen.
She rightly reacted against this.
Interrupting you, if I may, Ian,
it was neither of those particular things that happened. There's this new tendency that is happening in certain opera houses where they put what they call surtitles, because they put them above the action rather than below. And I think what happened was that they actually... the sponsors had something to do with these surtitles, and at certain moments in the opera, for instance, the moment when Sharpless offers Pinkerton a whiskey, the name of several brands of Scots whiskey came up. Then, when all the blossoms were brought in by Suzuki
Suzuki,
yes, you know, up there, and they also had the name of one or two mail order florists. But the final thing was when the gun is fired, meaning that the ship, Pinkerton's ship, is back in the bay, and instead of anything else was up there, join the U.S. Navy and see the world. and that was it. I mean, she said, I'm not having any more of that. You can't have my father or grandfather's offer anymore.
Dennis, have you anything to add?
I won't detain you long. What relationship was she to?
Daughter.
Daughter.
Yes.
They wanted her to pay for her seat.
No, sorry, granddaughter, I beg your pardon.
You blew it.
I'm sorry.
Not a fine day, I think, Mr. Ray.
Sorry about that.
Tread softly, because you tread on my jokes.
Yes, right.
They wanted her to pay for her seat. She's granddaughter's seat. Terrible scene at the box office.
Actually, I was so bowled over the fact that Frank was nearly right. Mm-hmm. What happened was that the heroine, played by Françoise Garnet, appeared in the nude in Act 3.
Good. Oh, what a horrible thought.
Well, according to the Times, the audience warmly applauded.
Well, it was a hot night.
Well, enough of the quiz questioning. Let's lay aside the score sheet and have a drop of singing. Frank's song is French in origin. I don't know if he's going to sing it in French, but I know I'm going to play a few bars of it in English in the middle.
May I just make one short, very brief announcement? And that is, I'm going to sing this in a deep voice in French. And it's a romantic song. And those of you listeners of a nervous or romantic disposition, but the BBC nor I can take no regard of the consequences. J'attendrai le jour et la nuit, j'attendrai toujours ton retour. J'attendrai qu'à l'oiseau qui s'enfuit vient chercher l'oubli dans son mine. Le temps passe et court en battant tristement dans mon cœur plus lourd. Et pourtant, j'attendrai ton retour. Passe et court en battant tristement dans mon cœur plus lourd. Et pourtant, j'attendrai ton retour.
Frank Muir, the Jean Sablon of Surrey. Accompanied by the Baron Boy of South Bucks. That's from John, a lovely folk song, not perhaps the tune you know best to these words. John.
Black, black, black is the colour of my true love's hair. Her lips are something rosy fair. The sweetest smile and the kindest hands. I love the grass whereon she stands. I love my love and well she knows. I love the grass whereon she goes. If she on earth no more I see, my life will quickly leave me. Black, black, black is the colour of my true love's hair. Her lips are something rosy fair, the sweetest smile and the kindest hands. I love the grass whereon she stands.
Dennis's song this week comes from the year 1908, when, as Dennis himself puts it, smoking was still a laughing matter.
Could I just add one little note, because it really is so old, it should really be sung in black and white, but just to explain that it's a song about a five-year-old boy smoking his first cigarette, cigarettes being something else which is passed, I believe, from the sea, wild woodbines, which were very, very cheap in those days. Five little fags in a dainty little packet. Five cigarettes that cost 1D. Five little pains underneath his jacket. Five wobbles in his little Mary. Five little whiffs and in five little jiffs he was rolling on the tramway lines. Wishing he could touch the cable, looking greener than the label on little Billy's wild woodbines.
Dennis, thank you for not smoking, as they say in the taxis. This is where Ian does some singing, followed by the members of the audience, those who can remember a song that first became popular in 1902. A verse from Ian, and then please join him, let it rip, in a gentlemanly and ladylike fashion. Of
course. On a summer afternoon, where the honeysuckles bloom, when all nature seemed at rest, neath a little rustic bough, mid the perfume of a flower, a maiden sat with one she loved the best. As they sang the songs of love, from an arbor just above, came a bee which lit upon the vine. As it sipped the honeydew, they both vowed they would be true. Then he whispered to her words she thought divine. You are my honey, honeysuckle, I am the bee. I'd like to sip the honey sweet from these red lips you see.
I love you,
dearly, dearly, and I want you to love me. You are my honey, honeysuckle, I am the bee.
You were best. In the quiz, though, the two best were John and Frank. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Richard Edis.